You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Take one. Knock, knock.
Who it is?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast.
Our podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning.
We're Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
And we're back with the Not So Serious XM with Stephen Fairley and Dana Craig from In the Room, and our guest.
Hi, I'm Austin Rodriguez.
Hi, Austin. We are, this is a new setup.
Yes.
We should maybe, preface. We're in our homes. We're working from home. We're living that WFH life.
Mm-hmm.
We are flattening the curve.
We are so flattened, except for my carb intake.
I was going to say, except my waistline.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take you, Jeff.
You look great.
We look like we're in a little Zoom room.
I know.
In the Zoom.
On my phone, you guys are very thin vertical like images. So it's kind of funny because it's just like, it's like this very like modern art piece that we're doing.
Oh, you'll have to take a screenshot.
Yeah.
I only know you as Austin Props.
Yeah. A lot of people only.
Props to the Austin Props.
Well, that's because you're the... prop man. You're the property man.
I am one of many property men and women, but I love props.
Well, that's why you're here today, is because we love props, and what better
we've never spoken
day to
a
it.
Prop person before.
No,
on this show.
And it is our first episode post quarantine, and we thought, shows have closed, Broadway's done, and what does a prop man do?
What a unique experience to be having.
You were about to open company, is that right?
Yeah, we were so close to opening company. We were like a week out. We were like maybe 4 days from freezing the show. We were all like, we're almost to the end. And then, hey, pack it all up. But we're on pause right now still. I mean, there is still every intention of what we're being told of coming back with a vengeance.
Sure. And you had 9 performances before everything went dark?
I'm gonna guess. I've never counted, actually. That is an interesting number.
I saw somebody posted that, you know, they had 9 great runs of it. Maybe that includes you're invited. I don't know. The point is, you did get to do it 9 times. Where were you, like, in the momentum of, like, your department? How much was your show changing day to day at that
point? Our show, we had lots of notes, just because in that part of the process, that's where we do a lot of like designer changes and visual changes. So like as far as the main props for the show, they were all set. It was more like dressing. We want to change, designers wanted to change like the picture frames and like how we hang them and, you know, a lot of that stuff. And then a lot of making the show run cleaner backstage, because this new version of company is very technically advanced as far as like the amount of stuff that changes on stage and the automation, and it's to make it flow really nicely. I think it looks gorgeous, but it is a lot of work backstage, and we have a lot of stuff and not a lot of room in the Jacobs Theater.
Sure.
And before this, before company, you were on Beetlejuice?
Oh yeah, that old chestnut.
Yes, which is the proppiest of all proppy shows of all proppy time.
Oh yeah, it was like every childhood dream of mine all rolled into one, you know.
Yeah.
I got to be a sandworm 8 nights a week. It was like the most fun.
You were ever. Sandworm.
Yeah. We had two sandworms in the show, and I was the finale sandworm. I was the one that Alex Brightman wrote in every night. So I'm inside, fully encapsulated in a sandworm. And yeah, nobody could see me. I could be fully naked in there, and yes. Nobody would know. And just having the most fun, you know.
What a credit.
It is
what a credit.
Of all the Steven. Credits, I think it's one of my favorite.
Creating hashtags left Austin and right.
Austin Rodriguez, parentheses, finale sandworm.
Finale sandworm, yeah. I can actually say that Katy Perry was on top of me at one point.
How many kids get to say that?
Yeah. Who would have known?
Speaking of kids, you're a father.
I am a faza.
A faza.
Yes.
I've spent a lot of time with your babe.
Yes, my sweet, sweet little babe, our little monster. It's interesting in quarantine zone, just sure. keeping him entertained with all sorts of stuff.
Little yeah. Ambrose, right? Ambrose.
Ambrose, yeah. Ambrose Bowie. Yeah.
How old is he now?
He just turned one. He turned one.
He and Harrison have the same birthday.
Yeah, the third.
The third. That's my nephew's first birthday. Was the third.
Yeah, it was. It was the day after our first preview for a company. Wow. It was his birth. Yeah.
Wow.
He's a little munchkin, and he's growing so big, and walking, and doing, and learning all the things, and doing all the things. So, yeah.
Don't you love watching him explore?
Oh my goodness. It is the most like just eye-opening experience of like, yeah. was it like this when we were all young? And it was just like, he found magnets for the first time. We give him a bag of magnets and
that's
he
fun.
Has been like, yes. What? Why does it stick to this and not to this? Yeah.
My nephew loves to eat his very hairy stuffed animals. He has a sloth that has like long hair on it, and he just takes globs of it and eats it.
That seems normal. That
okay,
seems normal.
Good. I just want to, you know, you're here to make me feel better. So
9 times out of 10, whatever he has will go directly in his mouth.
Directly in his mouth.
Which it has to be. I think that has to be like some sort of since all babies do it has to be some sort of evolutionary trait to like as many germs as you can get as possible.
Oh, absolutely. Right, there's right. like a fascination with like hand to mouth
yeah
connection.
Yeah.
Does he have little pinchers? Does he pinch everything? And
oh yeah,
yeah,
he pinches everything. He's really good at picking up things and throwing them to the ground as loud as possible. So I'm sure our dad.
He loves pulling a bookshelf completely onto the floor.
Oh yeah,
reorganizing
every book on every bookshelf. Just dump
how thrilling! It how thrilling!
Yeah. Yes, it is thrilling.
So, it's what are some things that you've done in quarantine that you have not done because your life was different? You know.
I love to cook and I love kitchen projects and all of that. So I have been cooking up a storm.
I've been thinking about you. Austin lives literally less than 1 minute from my front door. So it's particularly odd to be webcamming with you.
Yes,
we're in so this fun. Way. But I can't wait to like get in the kitchen with you. And I keep reminding myself that that's not something we can accomplish during this time.
I wish.
Well, I've had your food and your cocktails before. Stephen, we were there. We were at their house for Easter?
Second Easter. Yeah, we went from Val's.
Second Easter.
Tynan and Austin's for
yeah.
a feast. Old fashions that night, right?
Old fashions. We were making old fashions.
Ooh, they were so good.
God bless. Those are my favorite.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
I am from Michigan, America's High Five.
That is.
I don't think I knew that.
Very. I was going to say old fashions are very Midwest, and I'm from Wisconsin.
Oh yeah.
So that explains that.
I love the Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those Friday night fish fries, honey.
Oh yes,
love and a good all supper the club.
Cheese. All those cheese curds, please.
Culver's.
Culver's.
I've been eating so much cheese; it's been insane.
Yeah, like what's been contributing most to your COVID-15?
Carbs. I've made, we are really big fans of making bacon fat tortillas right now.
Oh.
And we make them with Benton's
bacon
fat.
Tell us everything.
Fat. Yeah, Benton's bacon fat tortillas, which is, Benton's is like a really like super smoked bacon. And yeah, they only use brown sugar and salt, and then they smoke it forever. And it's just the smokiest bacon you will ever have. And we make tortillas. We've been making cookies, cakes. My wife made focaccia. Yeah.
I just made a focaccia a couple weeks ago. It's such a good, like, all day bake
project. My roommate made a focaccia.
It's a bunch of like small steps that take a while.
Yes, and but easy, so easy.
So easy. It's like, let it sit here. Now dump it out and let it sit again. Okay, I have time for that.
Yeah, and bake it with a ton of olive oil.
Now poke at it and pour more oil on it and let it bake for an hour. Okay.
And then eat a quarter of a sheet pan.
Optional.
Well, that's
what Brush garlic butter on top.
Stuff salami inside and make a sandwich. Yeah. We don't joke
around.
These
are the options, folks.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of deep cleaning in our kitchen as well.
Yeah. No time like the prez.
I did my vent hood. That took me all day today.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
unbelievable. Yeah.
It's being crazy. Yeah. And our grain library, we're organizing our grain library, which Stephen has seen, which is the wall of, we have a wall of
it's
grain.
Gorgeous. It's
jarred
so
as an art piece and also a functional thing. So, yeah, it's been great. What have you guys been doing? Sorry.
Binging a lot of TV and some movies. Mm. Rewatching old movies, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Cooking. Working.
Yeah, you're still working.
Trying to
FT.
Work out here and there. It's hard.
Yeah, I'm doing as much as I can from my couch. But yeah, a lot of cooking, a lot of the home projects that I put off. I'm working on what the big craft is going to be. What's the big thing that I don't have to feel like I have to finish in a day and can be a thing I look forward to adding in a little bit. Every day. Dana has left the room.
Yes. Oh no, where'd you go?
She's no longer in the room. It's just the two of us.
And then there were two, Austin. Well, while Dana's gone and our producer, Alan Seals, is saying he doesn't know where he is, where Dana is either. Alan's nailing it. Oh, extra guest today. Bye.
Hi, Alan. Hi.
Going back a little bit, just to, you know, be the historian of the two of us, the day they announced that theaters would be going dark for a month was shocking. There's no preparing for it, even if you're, even if you know it's in the realm of the possible, what was that day like for you as it pertains to your show? You know, you had, I'm guessing, a day to kind of put things away or get things in a way where they could be picked up later.
Well, it was an odd day because they had chosen the night before to give the cast a day off from the rehearsal. And then, oh, you're back.
Hi, Dana.
Hi, Dana. They have chosen to give the cast a day off from the daytime rehearsal, but we had every intention when we left the night before that we were doing another preview. So we came in that morning and we're doing work hall notes, and lighting was having a lot of time to light looks, and we would set up different looks for them to light and give them a lot of time. But it was an odd situation because there was so much rumor swirling around, but nobody would confirm that, yes, we're shutting it down. Make sure all of the power's turned off. Make sure. So we were just kind of in this weird space of like, it's 99.9% sure that we were going to do this, but all from, you know, the higher ups, they were like, keep working, like nothing's going to happen. And we were like,
yeah,
okay.
Nobody wanted to pull that trigger.
Yeah. So we were all waiting for that. And I think it was like 4 o'clock after the announcement from the governor was made that they were like, okay, make sure all the perishables, make sure all the fridges are cleaned out, lock it down. And then we had a big meeting with the producers. And so all the crew got together and we met at like, I think it was at 5, and we all talked through what the next steps were and where we were going and what was happening. So it was like an odd experience to just everybody just keep working like nothing's happening. And keep doing things, but we were all like, yeah, it seemed like 100% we were going to shut down. But so it was a weird day because we were like, we don't know what is going to happen. And we still, I mean, most of us don't know what's going to happen still. So, but we were just like, okay, we think we have jobs and we all just take it in stride. And the producers have been really great when they've talked to us and they've sent us an email since, just being like, we're doing everything in our power to make sure that we still have a show and all of that. And so they've been very reassuring as far as that. But it was just like a weird, like, sensory day of like, yes, keep working on things that you may not see for months.
Yeah.
It's like, do I really need to do this paint note? Do I need to touch up the railing? Do I?
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so spooky. Everything's so spooky right now.
Yeah. And I went to the Jacobs shortly after the whole shutdown thing. I went back to the Jacobs because they were allowing us through the Schuberts to, like, if we had anything in our workbox we needed, or so I really wanted to have my sewing machine back at my casa because I had some projects and some things to work on. So I went to go grab a bunch of tools and stuff out of my workbox. But just walking through Broadway, dead Broadway, and walking into the Jacobs, and like, it was like everything was untouched from where we left it. And it was just
weird.
And it was just, nobody was in the theater, like nobody. And you were like, I've never been here with zero
people. So alone.
Yeah. It was kind of cool, but also kind of like, and just overwhelming. Like, I'd miss this place. I miss being here, even though like tech and previews is always so insane and exhausting.
An empty theater just in general is creepy. You know, you feel the ghosts and the audience who should be there. And like, it's so like powerful and minimal at the same time.
Yeah. 100%. Like, there's this great like reverence that you're in this historic building and there's nobody there. And it's just like, you're like, oh,
it's
what
all
is
mine.
This?
You need people to fill it.
Yes.
It'll be back. It'll be back. That's what we keep hearing, and I just want to let everyone know that. It'll be back.
Of course
oh,
we will.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when we all get through this crazy time, like, people want to be entertained, you know? And I think everybody will have watched everything on Netflix by the end of
people want to gather. I mean, people want to be surrounded by people again. I mean,
yeah,
I get it. The train sucks at rush hour, but also this is another extreme.
Yeah.
We can only watch Patty's basement so many times.
I don't know. I can watch Patty's basement a lot. I love her.
I want to see more nooks and crannies. Take us upstairs.
Yeah. It should be every week. Should just be a new part of Patty's house.
Oh, my God. Patty's kitchen.
Patty's kitchen. Patty LaPone makes this bacon potato cheese dish that is the most unreal you will ever have in your entire life. It is It is the most calorie-heavy thing you'll eat, but it is so... It speaks to everything in my Midwestern heart. It's amazing.
Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah. Patty LaPone. Demon in a kitchen.
Demon.
Demon in a kitchen. I love her.
You've worked with her before on War Paint.
Yes, on War Paint. She's the reason why I'm with company. I have a weird privilege of kind of being in her contract. She's put me on a list of people that she likes to work with. So I gotta, like, it's my humble brag. But
what a compliment.
I am so glad you shared that with us. My mouth is agape.
Yeah, she came to see Beetlejuice. And after the show, she came backstage. And everybody was a Twitter with her. And I was like, I'm going to sneak up and see her. Because after War Paint, we'd emailed a little bit, you know, been in contact just because we got along so well. And she threw her arms around me and yelled right into my face, "You're in my contract. You better be ready." And I was like, 100% Patty. If you call, I'm not going to say no. Like, I'm not doing that.
You're in my contract. Oh my God. Can you imagine, Stephen? Can you imagine?
She is the sweetest, get my hands
most
on
wonderful
it
woman.
It.
Yeah. She is adorable. Yes. I love her so much. Yeah. And like the first day in the theater, she yelled out to everybody that I was in her contract.
I mean, you can
nobody's
end it all.
Gonna fuck with you. Know?
No. I'm untouchable.
Yes.
You're untouchable.
Yes.
So I spend a lot of time just making her happy. That's always my goal. It's like just keeping their good graces.
How does your job need. Can I ask a boring question? Maybe
no,
to you?
There are no boring questions.
Okay. So how does your job change from pre-production and then during the production? You mentioned a lot of like paint notes. So you're just kind of maintaining at the point?
Yeah, once the show is frozen and locked, it's my job and the rest of the prop department's job to make sure that the show is maintained at the quality it was when it opened. So, you know, things, set pieces get bashed around. And one of the things we do in the props department is we're responsible for any paint notes throughout the set. So any touch-ups on any of the props and also on the set, the floor, you know, we're all responsible for all of those things. So once we have opened, we are responsible for maintaining everything. And that in like Beetlejuice, that also includes all the puppets. We don't have a separate puppet department. So that falls under props, any of like the weird magic tricks and all of that stuff. So on company, there's, you know, we're just maintaining that everything, all the furniture looks right, looks clean, looks new. Cause it's all of company is a specific colors of gray. All the set pieces. So my paint kit is very easy because it's only a few shades of gray, but we're just making sure that the show looks as best as possible for every audience is really the thing.
And are you involved in the creative at the top? Do you suggest what they look like and then make it and then maintain it? Or like, what's the life of a prop master?
Well, it's, I have a weird privilege than some just prop people on Broadway. I also work in a prop shop for a guy by the name of Peter Serafin. He's a production prop person, which is kind of the design equivalent in props. He works with the set designer and he sources and finds everything. But I work in his shop, so I do get some input on the creative thing when a designer kind of just says, I want it to look something like this. And then we take it and we kind of collab together when we build certain things. And we're like, do you like this? Do you not like this? So in company, there are three different sizes of the same cake. And they're fake cakes. So there was a lot of discussion with designing on what they wanted to look like, what it needed to be frosted like. But then once they've decided, okay, we want it this kind of this color, frosted kind of like this picture with sprinkles that kind of look like this, then I take it and then I kind of just transform it in my brain into physical reality. And so, I'm responsible when it comes to the theater. And if it was built by a different shop, I'm still responsible for making those same looks happen throughout the show. So I have a unique experience that I get to build some of the stuff I work with, whereas some prop people are just handed things from shops and they're like, good luck.
Right,
so I sometimes build things so it's easier for me to maintain.
You're the exception to every rule. That's why you're Mr. Prop Man.
What are some iconic props you've made?
Some cool props. Like I got to make a turkey leg that Bette Midler gnawed on every night.
If I could be any inanimate object in the entire world, it would be that turkey leg. Bette Midler.
Yeah.
I have that as a flip book. It was like promo stuff that Thank You Scott Frost was doling out, and it's just a flipbook of Bette Midler eating the turkey leg.
Yeah, and we had to go through a couple iterations of that turkey leg because she actually would like try to bite into it. So she was taking some paint coating drops. So we had to find a coating that she could gnaw on, but also not rip off. So yeah, it was that was an adventure on stuff like that.
God bless.
In Beetlejuice, there's a point where Otho gets strapped to what we call the Wheel of Death. So it's this big spinning circus board of craziness. I got to build that. I got to do in Beetlejuice, there's a light up what they call the soul box. And it's this huge infinity mirror of LEDs, cube, crazy electronicness. In the promo shots where they're looking into the book that lights up their faces in Beetlejuice, I built that. That was actually one of the first props I built for Beetlejuice in like a lab. They wanted to see a prototype and we built that. And it's in the show right now.
Tell me of Frozen.
Frozen at the shop, I got to work on the little toy Olaf that the girls build in the opening of the show. So I got to help create an Olaf prop, which is kind of cool. Yeah, just like we get to do all sorts of fun things.
And then what's your training? I mean, you have carpentry skills, you have sewing skills, you have painting skills, you have
engineering skills,
electronic skills, and then you mash them all up. I mean,
my training was basically my thirst for knowledge, a lot of it. I did do in high school, there was a kind of through a vocational school training program. There was a 2-year intensive in technical theater. That was like a new program that they were trying out. So I would do like two junior and senior year, I would do two core classes and I would go at my high school and then I would drive to another high school and I would spend the rest of the time in a theater, like doing lighting and sound and building sets and stuff like that. And then
so you dipped your toe in a lot of ponds.
I've tried everything. I'm not wigs. I'm frightened of wigs. All my wig friends always
know thyself.
Yeah,
wig friends.
It's too delicate. It's too crazy. No, thank you. But yeah, I've done pretty much every other department just to know what I wanted to do. But I fell in love with props, and I've been obsessed. So, sure.
Did you love toys as a kid?
What?
Did you love toys as a kid?
I loved building things as a kid. I built things out of like cardboard boxes, and my mother makes leather goods for a living. So she makes leather purses, belts, wallets, and all of that. So we just had scraps of leather in our basement. So I built all sorts of craziness. Yeah.
Wow, what
I
a was playground.
Just obsessed with theater as a child. And yeah, it was theater and cooking. Those were my two obsessions.
So that's one lucky kid. I got to say that.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's fun. And it's fun to have a kid now because it's like, I cannot wait for him to come to the shop and just play around and like, you know, build things. Sure. Yeah.
Suck on nails.
We were talking last night about cool old toys we should find that we used to have, like Tinker Toys and like Lincoln Logs and all
Lincoln
that
Logs.
Old school
a
stuff.
Tinker. I love a Tinker.
Oh, I love a Tinker Toy. Obsessed with a Tinker Toy.
Legos are making a huge comeback now.
Legos are. I think he's a little young for a Lego. Maybe those Playmobil, the big block ones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm fully, yeah. Our neighbor, Jeff, one of our best friends, he loves Lego. And he cannot wait until Ambrose can Lego with him. And they're going to Lego all the time.
Lego yeah. with me! Ah!
Yeah. Yeah.
That kid so, is so cute.
Yeah, it's fun to work in a space that I get to create craziness. And a lot of the training stuff is just, I'm obsessed and I read a lot and I watch a lot. And YouTube is now a huge asset for any maker and people that want to make things in the whole maker community out there. There's so much information on 3D printers and crazy electronics and how do I do this? And that whole online community is very easy to reach out to as well. So like you can reach out to somebody and they always respond and nobody has like magical secrets they don't share. So yeah.
What is, can you give us some hashtags or accounts that you follow that you like?
There is a molding and casting company called Smooth On. They make all sorts of rubbers and silicones and craziness for molding and casting and resins. And I use a lot of that day to day. But their account is really great because they have so many products and they're so user friendly and they sell really like small trial kits and stuff. So people can play around and it's really affordable. But they have amazing videos on how to do things. I follow that. Adam Savage from Mythbusters, obviously I follow him. There's just tons of cosplayers out there. And basically just by following the hashtag SmoothOn, the amount of people I have found through that.
I just started following them. They're insane.
Do they have so much craziness? They have like plastic resins that set within 30 seconds. Like you could be pouring it out of a cup and it will, in the stream, set hard. And like you could let go of the cup. Like there are things that like set off, like it's all science all the time and it's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, so we do a lot of molding and casting in prop world, so it's like to find out how people did things and what people are doing, and there's just tons of like nerds and stuff. Yeah,
I'm gonna be scrolling through this all day. I just stumbled upon a Long Island iced tea prop.
Yeah,
that looks fierce.
So many fake drinks.
Has your career only been theater based?
Mostly, yeah. I've done some commercial stuff. I've done a little bit. I did this weird thing back in Michigan. They were trying to do like how Mr. Rogers started in the local television company. I worked on a kids TV show called Come On Over. And it was, but they had like, the directors were directors from Sesame Street and Blue's Clues, and our production designer was from Sesame Street, and our puppeteers worked on Sesame Street. And so it was like a lot of like industry-based things. So that was really fun. But I mostly do theater just because television, film is not really my vibe. I like how we, you know, can get in and get out in 2.5 hours and make magic, and you know, the pressure of live theater is just, it makes me feel so happy.
Yeah.
And it just makes more sense in my brain. Film is a lot of waiting around for camera setups, and that drives me nuts because the amount of projects I've done just in quarantine zone have been crazy, just because I'm like, I need something to do.
Yeah, what have you been getting done?
He's like, well, look at my fort, and spins us around.
Yeah, so it's been insane. So yeah, and just theater is my love, and I get to work on Broadway, and that's dream come true. I get to work.
You're a theater family.
Yeah,
theater household. Oh,
I think the family aspect too is always such a great thing to experience that I never felt on like any commercial shoots or film shoots or anything like that, just because it's just like, I don't think you're just in the trenches as hard. I know, I mean, no offense to anybody that works in film, but I just feel like there's a different like family aspect to our theatrical weirdness, you know.
Sure.
It's like Beetlejuice in the quarantine, we've still been doing Snob, our drink night every Saturday.
And what does that stand for?
Saturday Night on Broadway.
Yes, queen.
Yes. And this last week it was a toga party, so we all had togas, and it was like, yeah, a Zoom meeting.
I love everybody.
Nice. And it's just like, you love that family aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute.
Super cute.
Yeah.
Steven. So stupid. It's so weird to be on FaceTime.
Do people know that we can see each other? We're on a Zoom, not a Zoom. Oh, like I don't know. Yeah, I certainly didn't. Situation.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was going to be a visual element. It's so advanced.
I know. I would have dressed up.
Well, we're not. Turban or something. We will not put this up anywhere, but for now, it's good to see.
But
you.
Maybe our picture is like a cute screenshot. Wait, I don't know how to do it.
It's great audio content.
Guys.
This is how we do it on In the Room.
In the Room, quarantine edition.
I mean, truly. It's just, I did the math yesterday. I think today is day 18.
Oh, really? I feel like it's been like day 30.
Yeah, I think it's 18.
I can't. It's so weird to walk outside and, you know, because we go for quarantine walks with our babe and just not see tons of people, you know, especially in like giant parks like Fort Tryon and stuff. And it's just like having the streets empty and everybody in masks and gloves. And
yeah, that's normal, that seeing people post pictures of their neighborhood and seeing, you know, Midtown where I am daily. And seeing it empty and knowing that I haven't seen it in 3 weeks.
Yes.
I was thinking about this, like the only thing that I'm able to see is what's on the news. You know, I'm seeing what my parents are seeing. And it's weird. I feel like it would hit me differently if I saw it in real life, but
I can't imagine.
Really, yeah. When I walk through Times Square and it was like empty, like it was like 3 a.m. when nobody's there kind of situation, but it's broad daylight. You're like, I don't know this. I don't like this. Yeah. I mean, our dream is for, you know, Times Square to be empty sometimes when you're walking through it, you know, when you work in Midtown.
Listen, but I was like, I thought my dream was quarantine, and I can tell you that ain't cute.
No. Quarantine would be better if you could do it with like all your friends, if we could all go to each other's houses and it would just be that would be quarantine. But when it's like the stark reality of like, no,
you cannot gather, you cannot use each other,
like
physically in the physical world to feel better.
Yeah. We have a unique situation where we have a couple of our best friends live in our building, like they're neighbors. So we've all committed to being in each other's germ bubble.
Good.
And we shop together. We do we're doing it all together.
I love that.
If one of us get it, we all get it. We are just committed.
I have a friend here too. He was in a weird apartment situation and it was just easier to move before it got worse. You know, this was a week and a half ago at this point. So we have a friend here too, and it is nice. It makes it feel a little like a slumber party.
Yes, exactly.
There's more bodies, and there's the animals are thrilled to have another person love on them all day.
Yeah, my best friend Dan, they have a dog, so Ambrose loves the dog, and they can hold our baby for 5 minutes, and we can just go have a cocktail and not think about it.
Listen, babies and animals are what people need, I think.
Listen, it takes a village. I keep thinking about people with roommates who they didn't choose.
That they don't like
nothing more than a roommate to them.
Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. That would make me so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
It would break me. I would have gone home. I would have gone to my mom's and just, done a month in LA.
Where's your mom? Speaking of.
Mom's in LA.
Oh, okay.
Where she lives.
I thought she sold her house.
She's working on it.
Oh, okay. She's
nobody can really
outside.
Come look at it right now.
The housing market is a little dead right now.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's coming and going to open houses.
Yeah.
Well, I have a roommate and I love him. And I think we're still okay.
Yes.
Yeah, everything is smooth sailing here.
I mean, I have a wife and I think everything is okay. Because that's also how many relationships are making it through this?
Truly.
We were kind of...
How many people just started dating and they're like, well, we're going to do this together because I don't want to not see you.
Yeah. It's like a true test of a relationship, I think. Because we were a little nervous because... I work a lot and I was in tech, so I was barely here. I was doing, 8 a.m. to midnight pretty much every day. And then it was just all of a sudden I was like, oh, we are living in this space, which is so nice. It's not the honeymoon that my wife imagined, but we are definitely together.
Tynan Davis, bless her heart.
I know. We did have a few, she laid some rules of you're never here, but this is my space. So you're going to live under these rules. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Need some hard, fast rules.
She was like, this is the boys' schedule and we are still sticking to it. And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm going to go cook something now, which is my safety zone.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to have a different space.
Know your role.
I'm trying my hand at candy making. I'm waiting on some flavoring in the mail, but I'm going to make some Jolly Ranchers.
Yes.
I'm going to make some lozenges. Kitchen.
I love it. We have a Marco Polo thread with a bunch of friends and everybody's been talking about trying fermentation, which is one of my other passions.
You love it and you're so good at it.
And I was like, oh, now I need to ferment. So I'm going to make some tepache, which is a fermented pineapple drink. I think that's my next. I'm going to ferment and it tastes amazing with beer or booze in it, tequila. It's just fermented, tangy pineapple greatness.
Do you deliver to there Victoria?
As soon as we can. Yeah, are you on Postmates?
I'm not on Postmates.
DoorDash?
No, Mikado only. So we're definitely getting down. I'm going to re-ferment things and get back into that. I kind of want to make vinegar. I've not made vinegar. Yeah, make a vinegar. I have a recipe for whiskey vinegar. Yeah, yeah. If you could see their faces. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, mouth of the gape this entire episode.
Yeah.
A gape.
Yeah, whiskey vinegar, I think, may happen in our our household.
Nice. And I should make some limoncello.
I have made lots of limoncello. It's really easy.
How do you make limoncello?
Basically, all you do is you zest many, many lemons and put them in a neutral grain spirit, which is can be a vodka. You can do it with Everclear. And then you add a bunch of sugar once it all sits and settles. And then, but you let those lemon peels sit until they have a taste of lemon, and then you strain it all out, and then you have limoncello, and then it's shelf stable.
My roommate is a baker and a cooker, so it's it's pretty great in here. We're good.
Yeah,
it's nice. It's nice to have one of you around.
I'm so glad you're fed, Dana.
Steven is a great cook too.
I want to know what it's like if you don't cook at home and now you're only at home. Is it? I know that takeout's still a bit available in New York, but is everybody still taking out every day?
We are a little bit. You know, we did a takeout Tuesday last week. We did pizza over the weekend just to like give ourselves a night off as we normally would, and also now it feels like our civic duty is to order in.
Yeah. You know, thank you for delivering. Thank you.
And look, like, I'm not in a position to get a $100 gift card to all my favorite restaurants, but I can certainly be talked into sitting my ass on the couch and using that $120 a month I'm not giving to the MTA to
that's true.
My local taqueria.
Have you ordered, because we haven't ordered delivery yet. We were talking about ordered delivery tonight. Have you ordered from a place that you can also get to-go booze? Because this is my most interested quality of delivery.
I have not. It is my understanding that to-go booze is a takeout thing, not a delivery thing.
I've seen it on the delivery menus.
Wow.
We just put it in order for wine. But the restaurants around here, you can go in and grab your cocktail
to go,
your smoke show, and leave. It's nice.
I've not done that. I love that when they put the edict that only essential businesses can stay open, all of our
first article I saw was liquor stores are essential.
Oh, thank God. Don't worry. Yeah, I was like, thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
They know we all have roommates. They get it.
But the problem is now I live on airport rules where it's like, oh, you can have a cocktail in the morning, which can get dangerous. We just have to.
Airport rules.
We call it airport rules from when I toured, because I was on tour for 10 years with different Broadway shows. We call that airport rules. 6 a.m. If the bar is open, I'm having a Bloody Mary.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No judgments.
No judgment.
Yeah. So now we kind of live in that.
If they're not going to let a domestic traveler into duty free, the least they can do is allow us to enjoy a cocktail without judgment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. There are some airports that don't, they're like, bars don't open till like 8 or 9. I'm like, what is this place? I don't live here.
I only fly places with 24-hour bars in their airport, just in case.
And good Bloody Marys. Minneapolis actually has one of the best Bloody Marys.
Best airport Bloody Mary you've ever had?
Oh,
the Midwest doesn't fool around with their Bloody Marys either.
Well, and they also know, do you know about a beer back?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of places don't do a beer back. A beer back is a Bloody Mary, and then they give you a small, like small rocks glass of beer, so you have a little palate cleanser. I can't tell you how many places in this country have no idea what a beer back is, and it upsets me. And that's why I love the Midwest, because you go and you're like, yes, this is, I want booze with my booze. Thank you.
I mean, people do a water back.
A water back? What does that do?
I know, it's stupid. It's stupid.
I do a water front.
That's a beer front with a Bloody Mary present and a beer back.
Yes.
Do that.
And a shot of tequila.
And a shot of tequila.
A Bloody Mary present. What else? Okay, well, I have two questions to ask you.
Okay.
That we ask everybody.
All right.
And we can't forget them.
God, we haven't done this for so long.
I know.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
Okay, my first question for you is, what was your first impression of each of us?
Ever.
When you came over, my first impression of both of you were like, you were down for old-fashioned right away with such excitement. I was like, yes, you can stay. I like you. That was my first impression. You guys just seemed like so much fun and so genuine and just kind of didn't care that you were in a new person's home. So you felt comfortable, which I like when people come to my house and just like feel comfortable to be themselves. And that, so that was my first impression of you guys. Basically, like, you guys are fun. I want to hang out.
But also, didn't you have like a big herb ladder in your kitchen? You had like a lot of greenery happening.
We did. We had a whole herb growing ladder. We have now, one of the projects we've done the quarantine is we put glass shelving up in our window. There's all the glass shelving. And then my lovely wife wants to fill with more plants. So
I was like, this guy's got taste with a capital T-A-S-T-E. I'm staying and I hope they adopt me.
You're more than welcome after quarantine to come over and I will cook.
Sweet.
Yes. Yes.
You know what's good. Like,
cause we call it a boiling. Cause I only know how to cook for 30 people. Like even when I've
never been good at cooking for low numbers.
Oh, so that we have a lot of leftovers because it's just like, here is 45 gallons. I was like, I'm going to make chicken stock. I made 3 gallons of chicken stock. Cause I was like, I don't know.
You know what I did pretty successfully during this quarantine? Carved a chicken.
Like carved it, like broke it down and everything?
Or with like a carver?
No, like with a knife and like my know-how of the bones.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I mean, it wasn't perfect. Breaking down a chicken is like... The carcass looked like the right thing and all the pieces looked like all the right thing.
Good.
Did you make stock with that carcass?
We did not this time.
But you have.
But I have.
That's the thing that I want every one of your listeners to know.
Yes. Save your carcass.
Save your carcass. Throw it with a bunch of vegetable scraps.
And there you are.
Stock.
You don't even have to peel the vegetables.
No, just throw it all in there. And when I was going to make stock, we just had all of our vegetable scraps, onion butts, everything from what we chopped just in a bag in the fridge. And then we threw that all in there and it was magic.
People are so afraid to use onion butts.
Use them. I love an onion butt.
Yes.
Who doesn't love an onion butt?
I don't know.
That was my nickname at summer camp.
Hi-ho! 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 Hi-ho!
Speaking of nicknames, there are 7 very well-known dwarves in history. If you were the 8th dwarf, what would your name be?
My first instinct, drunky. Definitely drunky.
We'll take it.
I'm like drunky dwarf, yeah.
Drunky dwarf.
I need a cocktail. But if like, I'm not working, I need a cocktail.
We're also like during the quarantine, there's no rules or judgment about like start time. We decided that.
Yes, with 100%.
Airplane rules.
It's airport rules, all quarantine. I definitely am drinking a daiquiri right now. So,
and you're also dressed as a daiquiri.
I am. It's very floral.
A very floral tea on, which I've been eating this whole time.
Just trying to, you know, bring a little festivity into my life.
I did have to get dressed the other day. I didn't put on jeans or anything, but like I didn't wear my home pajamas. I put on different sweats and like a t-shirt that I would wear outside.
That's good. I have this
to get out of this
that I've learned. I need to still take a shower in the morning.
Yeah.
Like within getting up quickly and like I need to get dressed. Otherwise,
my
morning
stays the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
I gotta get up. I gotta brush my teeth. I gotta do the things.
Yeah. I gotta feed that child. He eats. Yeah, like, he likes
come
to
9
eat.
a.m. anybody's guess.
Yeah. Which we've been, a lot of breakfast tacos have been happening in our household.
I had breakfast tacos this morning.
Yes.
Yes. Ooh.
I'm telling you, you gotta make some bacon fat tortillas.
Talk us through it.
Bacon fat tortillas, super simple. It's like 3 cups of flour to like 1/4 cup of bacon fat. You can use vegetable shortening if you don't want to use bacon fat, but I do 1 tablespoon of baking powder and a little bit of salt. I usually use 1 teaspoon and then 1 cup of water. And you just mix that together until it forms a dough. You knead it a little bit. You let it rest for at least 1 hour. Some people let their tortillas rest 24 hours. The more you let it rest, the softer they will be of the gluten structure. And then you just form little balls. You roll them out into flats, put them on a pan, let them bubble up on both sides. Done. And you can make a huge batch and then store them in your fridge.
Yum.
This is porn for Steven.
Oh.
Actual porn.
No question. But actual
bacon
porn.
Fat has game changer. We've learned bacon that fat bacon fat
that and liquid gold are like the most underused, easily tossed ingredients in any kitchen.
We've made bacon fat, like we've put rice in our rice cooker and put bacon fat in there, and it's like the smokiest rice ever. It's so good. We're gonna do popcorn later.
Bacon fat popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have what we need for that.
We have schmaltz too. We have a lot of chicken fat. We bought
Of course you have schmaltz.
We have schmaltz, baby. Yes.
God damn it.
I made refried beans with schmaltz instead of lard, and it was game changer.
Dare you go into so much detail?
We're doing meatballs with a salsa verde.
What? I want
tonight.
I want. We've been trying to do some vegetables, but last night I made kale and mushroom. We just sauteed that, and then I put them in a carbonara sauce, which made them. I thought it was going to be a little bit lighter and healthier than it was. No, it was just Parmesan cheese, thick, creamy sauce magic on vegetables.
Yeah.
I was like, we ate vegetables. This counts, right?
We're stressed
out. No judgment. We're airport eating.
Airport eating. Get that Chili's. Go to Chili's.
Whatever's open.
Yeah.
I'll give you $10 for a donut, Duncan.
Au bon pain.
Au bon pain.
Au bon
pain. Or if you're in the Atlanta airport, Popeye's chicken. 100% always. They have a Popeye's chicken in the Atlanta airport. It was my go-to.
Why would you do anything else?
Yeah. It was, yeah. I know a lot of airports like the back of my hand from that much touring.
Oh, well, now I want Popeye's.
Do they deliver?
They sure do.
Oh, well, now I want
they
that.
They sure do. There's actually one close to us, but you have to go like up the hill, which makes it feel very far away.
That seems very far away, yeah.
Like, you could walk through the 1 train and when it's open, take the elevator, but like, that seems crazy.
That seems way too crazy. No, that's too far.
Yeah.
So if they deliver, go get delivered.
They deliver.
Because I know Taco Bell delivers.
I feel guilty looking on a map. I'm like, oh, it's right there?
It's right there, but it's so
far. But the incline is
vertically.
What? Yes.
Yeah, it's vertically far.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's vertically distant,
and you would have to walk through the In the Heights like tunnel,
yeah,
and like do your best In the Heights,
yeah,
from the new movie coming out.
Postponed.
I know. I just think they should release it and we'll all just buy it. I'll buy an online ticket to it.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Open that thing up. I like all the free, not free streaming, but like the National Theater is going to stream a bunch of theater. They're going to do the one-man two-gun there. PBS is
unlocking a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking
forward to that for sure. And I think April, like, you know, every month we get new stuff regularly, but often it is underwhelming. I think April's going to be a huge surge of, you know, amendment contracts and whatever, so that more stuff can be streaming. Fran Drescher hinted that The Nanny might be among those.
I will rewatch The Nanny.
We are 100%. So blessed.
I Very hope.
Blessed. Have you watched Tiger King yet?
Yes.
I'm halfway through.
Finished.
I just finished episode 4 before this podcast.
I am ready to build props for Tiger King the musical.
Have you guys seen Dan Finnerty's audition from the Dan Band?
Not yet, because I haven't finished.
Okay.
No, I haven't. I didn't know he did an audition.
Look up if anyone is following. I think it's at Dan Finnerty. It's Kathy Najimy's husband. He's so stupid.
Susie Mosher posted it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go look it up as soon as we
He's obviously wearing one of Kathy's big fur coats. It's so funny.
That is amazing.
I love all this content that people are putting out that is inspired and hilarious. Enjoying it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how people spend their time.
Yeah.
And I, of course, love seeing people's apartments. I mean, I loved that about the Rosie show. We went live, but we didn't really talk about it. Austin, did you watch Rosie?
I did watch Rosie. I did.
I just loved seeing, like, mm-hmm. which guest, like, put on a camera face and, like, thought about where in their house they were going to do it. And who didn't. And who was just, like, wherever they happened to be at their time slot and did their thing.
100%.
I loved it. I loved Cheetah's apartment.
I loved the variety. It felt like a variety show because of that. It felt like different levels of famosity and people who were doing characters and a bit and singing and not singing and just talking and Judith Light. Like, what?
Helen Menken was so great.
It was such a good telethon.
Yeah. Barry Manilow.
With that Judy tissue box cover, I'll never get over it.
Yeah, you won't.
Ever.
I mean, these are like old people trying to figure out Zoom. Like, good job. Like, no production assistant is there. They've got to figure that out themselves.
I can't even imagine. That was the saddest thing about not opening was it was really also going to be Sondheim's 90th birthday party. Yes. Like, just to be in that room for his 90th birthday party. How cool would that have been? It was real sad.
It still will. It's being postponed.
Yeah, but it's still, yes.
I know.
But to be there on the day.
Yeah. I know.
We could watch the Andrew Lloyd Webber birthday video together.
People turning 90 everywhere.
Oh.
Can you imagine making it to 90? I can't.
I'm going to take you on a little adventure because I have to get a charger.
Oh, please do. And we should actually wrap up shortly anyway.
Yeah, okay.
We're nearing the end.
Yeah.
Nearing the end.
But we do thank you from the bottom of our ever-shrinking hearts for spending some of your quarantine with us.
Of course. I mean, I don't got anywhere else to be. I can't be like, I'm too busy.
I know. I can't believe we're doing the first video one with somebody who is less than 60 seconds from my apartment.
I love that, too. We could probably shout out the window and hear each other.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I mean, if you're ever taking your walk, feel free to walk by and say, like, stick your head out the window.
Oh, yes.
And I can wave to you guys.
You're now in my kitchen.
I love that kitchen.
Yes. You're where the magic happens.
Where the magic
happens. In the grain library.
Yes, oh grains.
God. I got a screenshot of it.
Screenshot. There's also, these are the new shelves.
Oh, that cute. They look great.
We haven't filled them yet. But yeah. Yeah.
Just careful when you open it.
I will. Yes.
Austin, thank you so much for taking an hour to be with us and hug your beautiful family for me.
Yeah. I will. I will. Thank you guys so much. It's been so much fun.
Stick something in that baby's mouth for me.
All right.
You know,
do you have anything, a preference?
I don't know. Does he like socks? Does he like taking off a sock and sucking on it?
Yeah. Well,
great. Yes. Do that.
All right. A sock in it. A sock it will be.
From Angie Dana. Stick a sock in it, Ambrose.
Yes. We'll Ambrose. Send you a photo.
Ambrose.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
All right. Now we sign off.
Alligator.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, I'm supposed to hold it?
No, this is perfect.
I'm not musical.
That's perfect.
In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out.
And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.